podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Messi.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to The Punt podcast ahead of the Euro 2020 qualifiers over the course of the next few days. We're going to look at the two games today. We're recording this on Thursday morning and, of course, England versus the Czech Republic on Friday evening. And we'll finish the podcast with a look at Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland on Saturday at tea time. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined on the line, as always, by Derek McGovern. First of all, a good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, Dave. Great to be here. This fantastic matches ahead of us this weekend.
I know how much you like the international break, Derek. I know how much like it.
Oh, yes, yes. I've been sleepless nights this week.
I'm sure you've got some top bets for us on the podcast. And joining us, our guest from the FWA, the chief sports writer from The Sun, Dave Kidd, is on the line as well. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
Are you well?
I'm very well, yeah, and yes, elevating like to always about these internationals coming up. I'll be at Wembley tomorrow night. England, to be honest, they've been a bit more positive than usual as of last year or so we shouldn't be too negative about it. But yeah, when you get into these qualifying campaigns, a few people's nodding off at the back down there.
It just dawned on me, Dave, that we've got two DKs on the podcast today, and me, a DKhead.
That's definitely staying in, Derek. That is definitely staying in. Let's get stuck into the matches then. Starting with the game kicking off at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Kazakhstan versus Scotland. Kazakhstan are 3-1 to win the match. The draw 11-5. Scotland even money. Loads of enhanced odds and your odds on the William Hill website and on the app as well. I'll spin through a couple of them. Oliver Burke to score in a Scotland win was 2-1. That's been boosted to 5-2. And if you fancy Scotland to win both halves, that was 4-1. That's been boosted out to 6-1. So a good enhancement if you fancy the Scots in this game. And Dave, we were mentioning off air a few months ago that it's going to be a difficult campaign for Scotland because they know they are potentially just two matches away from next year's European finals, thanks to topping their Nations League group back in November. So Alex McLeish is going to have to focus on keeping these players concentrated.
Yeah, psychologically it's going to be really strange for them because they're unlikely to finish in the top two, although they might half fancy their chances of getting above Russia, but Russia's look decent in the World Cup. They also got Belgium in there as well. So if they don't finish in the top two, they still know, even if they finish bottom, that they'll get a playoff, a two-legged playoff to get qualification for the finals. So it's a really strange one. And they've also got, for this opening game, they've got an enormous journey. I've been to Kazakhstan. I'm pretty sure it's further east than Delhi where they'll be playing. It's a long, long way to go for a qualifier. And they've got 7 or 8 players out, including, both their quality left backs, Robertson and Tierney, are two of the best players in Scotland, both at left back. And they were trying to accommodate both of them in the team. They're both out. So I think it's a really tricky fixture for Scotland in many different ways.
I agree, and they've been absent from the past 10 tournaments now. Andy Robertson, you mentioned there, is missing, but he was only 4 years old the last time Scotland qualified for either a European Championships or the World Cup. And you mentioned that growing list of absentees. It includes Jordan Archer, Barry Bannon, Charlie Mulgrew have all withdrawn from the squad as well. What's your gut feeling on this match, Dave? Can Scotland go to Kazakhstan and pick up anything, or do you think they're a bit short at even money?
I think I'd back them to maybe grind out a draw, the odds are on that. But if I was going to stick one neck out, I won't stick one neck out, and I'd better get a draw.
Okay, the draw in the game is available at 11-5. The head coach of Kazakhstan, Mikhail Bilek, is taking charge for the second game. He'll be looking to improve his side's form at home. They've been pretty poor at home in the main, but they did pick up a 2-2 drawing that World Cup qualifier with Poland. That came way back in 2016, though. Since then, they've drawn three and lost three. Derek, how do you view this game?
Well, if Scotland got to win a game, it's got to be this. Kazakhstan, 117 in the world rankings. That's behind Afghanistan, behind Uzbekistan. I think it's behind Jennifer Aniston as well. It's just they're just hopeless. It's the world. Kazakhstan is the world. I read up on them. Did me research. The world's largest landlocked country, whereas Scotland, I mean, that's largely padlocked. You know what? You can read me the name of Scotland's starting 11, and I probably wouldn't have heard of any of them. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Alex McLeish. Because I've just looked at the squad and who's there? There's nobody there. And as you say, these matches, because of Scotland are already guaranteed at least a playoff place after the Nations League nonsense, it makes these matches almost irrelevant, a bit like Scotland. I just can't see Scotland slipping up here, though. Kazakhstan are as bad as they sound. If ever there was a match flying out to be covered by Eurosport, it's this one. 3 o'clock kickoff as well, dear me. I mean, I don't think people will be taking a day off, you know, for this, for that. That's if anybody worked. No, it's got to be Scotland for me. Even money, you'd never normally look at the Scots at even money, no matter who they were playing. And even money away from home, you know, that, again, you wouldn't look at that. But come on, it's Kazakhstan. 11 goats in the squad. It's got to be Scotland.
I knew that some of your research had come from the film Borat, Derek, on Kazakhstan. 3-1 Kazakhstan to win the game. The draw 11-5, Scotland even money. Scotland for Derek, even money, and Dave going with the draw at 11-5. Let's move on to Northern Ireland versus Estonia, which kicks off this evening at 7:45. Northern Ireland 2-5 to win the game. The draw 16-5, Estonia in the betting 8-1. Liam Boyce to score in a Northern Ireland win was 6-4. That's been boosted to 7-4, and if you fancy Kyle Lafferty to score first and Northern Ireland to win, that was 4-1, enhanced to 5-1. Loads of markets as per usual on the William Hill website and on the app, and if you tweet using the hashtag YourOdds to @WilliamHill and there's a bet that you like that's not priced up, the traders will endeavour to get that on the website and on the app. Tough group for Northern Ireland, Derek. Germany and the Netherlands in this group, so it's imperative they make a winning start, and they're 2-5 to do so, but they're on a run of four games without a win. They've drawn one and lost three of those games, and they haven't won a competitive fixture since beating the Czech Republic 2-0 back in September of 2017. This is a game they should be winning, but not much recent form, Northern Ireland.
No, they haven't. I mean, 2-5 Ireland. This is the kind of game they traditionally get wrong, i.e. football. I mean, I can't. No one on earth would be backing them at 2-5 against Estonia. In fact, I noticed that Estonia played Ireland twice before I think it was in a Euro 2012 qualifiers, and Estonia won both of them home and away. Northern Ireland's excuse then was a good one, though. They had Nigel Worthington as their manager. I think Estonia have got to be worth a bet here, you know. 8-1 to beat Northern Ireland, who haven't won a game for, you know, almost 2 years. Mm. I've got to go for it.
Estonia 8-1. It's going to be tough for Michael O'Neill as well, I think, Dave, in the main, because he's going to be fielding 11 players that haven't seen much domestic action, and he's expressed his concern about that in the lead-up to this this encounter with Estonia.
Yeah, he always feels like a man who's sort of, you know, shipped on my sail. A bit unlucky, you know, when he stuck was at Ohio after the Euros 2016, there's a lot of interest in supposed interest. I don't know how much of it was real, but it should have been interest from you know, decent clubs in England, good championship clubs in O'Neill. It seemed like, you know, a coming man, but over the last couple of years, it's gone backwards. And actually, not for any great fault of his own. It's an incredibly small talent pool they've got there to deal with. They lost every one of their Nations League games, and it's a thankless task overall in that group with Germany. You know, however relatively weak the Germans are at the moment, they're going to be too strong for Northern Ireland, I thought, and the Dutch are certainly resurgent again now, struggling to qualify from there. They, I think they've got Estonia and Belarus at home in the first two games. They've absolutely got to win both of them, but there's no form there. And like you say, 8-1 surprises me. That's very generous odds for an Estonia win.
Okay, we're going with Estonia then, 8-1 to beat the Northern Irish this evening. As you mentioned, Northern Ireland must get off to a good start. At least they've got some strikers that are in reasonable form. Will Grigg scored in Sunderland's 2-1 win over Walsall at the weekend. Liam Boyce, he played for Burton Albion at the weekend. And now McGinn scored in Aberdeen's 1-1 draw with Livingston. So at least they've got some strikers in reasonable form at the moment. But Estonia, for you, the value, Dave, 8-1, given that Northern Ireland have been out of form?
I think Griggs pulled out as well. You have to be very careful with these, especially the week that they drop like flies, don't they? For all the home nations, I think, this week. So Griggs, I think, is out. But yeah, I mean, Estonia's the... Estonia's got to be the value, but 8-1, that's for sure, yeah.
Okay, just before we look at the England match, here's Alex Stunn with a bet away from the home nations for the games coming up over the next 3 days.
With Dave and the guys having something of a monopoly on the home nations games this weekend, it falls to me to find a little bit of value elsewhere. And though it is slim pickings this week, France make plenty of appeal away at Moldova on a handicap. What I do think is I want to oppose Greece, and I want to oppose them with every single fibre of my being. I do not like them at all. They're there to be taken on as well. They're 8-on to go to Liechtenstein and win. So I wouldn't be putting Greece in Akers. That'd be step one, if you like. But step two would be to back Liechtenstein on a hefty handicap. And you're getting them plus two at 7-5 right now. Liechtenstein are no great shakes, we know that. But they rarely get absolutely pasted. And while on the face of it, Greece's results have picked up in recent months and over the last year or so, it's been against shocking sides. Liechtenstein are a bad side, they are, but Greece at 8-on, it's just the wrong price. Back Greece at your peril here. They're way too short. Liechtenstein plus two at 7-5, a good bit of value.
Right, let's talk England then. England versus the Czech Republic. Friday night, England 1-4, the draw 17-4, the Czech Republic are 12-1. Enhanced odds, Raheem Sterling to score in an England win, been in fine form, was 11-8. That's been boosted to 13-8. And if you think Harry Kane is going to score two or more in the match, that was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 7-2. What do you make to the squad that Gareth Southgate has assembled? It's quite a young squad. James Ward-Prowse has been called up. Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's barely started for Chelsea this season, only made 8 starts. He's made the squad. And Declan Rice, having made his decision to represent England rather than the Republic of Ireland, is included as well. It's a strong squad. John Stones is the only real absentee of any note, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've got a little bit of a problem there at centre half with Stones and Gomez long term. I think they would probably be Southgate's first choice central defenders. It's not a particularly strong Czech team at the moment. Not certainly not what it was sort of back in their glory days in the 90s that we all remember when Nedved at his peak and that kind of thing. I mean, England are an exciting young side, and they're getting younger and younger. And Rice is a really key player for them. I think the one thing they've really lacked is someone, you know, a decent holding midfield player over the last few years, and I think Rice looks like he's going to be exceptional. He's very young yet. He's only just turned 20. We're going to put loads and loads of pressure on him, and he's gone through. He had to make a massive decision there to turn his back on Ireland after winning a few senior caps and friendlies. It was a tough one for him, but I think there's a good chance he'll come into the team. He may even play at centre half, where he has played for West Ham in previous seasons. He sort of broke through into the West Ham team as a centre-half. He's obviously established himself in central midfield, but the need may be greater for him to play centre-half for his England debut tomorrow. That is a possibility at the moment. Mm.
And I've had many a debate with friends about Gareth Southgate and the plaudits he was given following the World Cup. It was a decent campaign, but... Did they really overachieve, do you think, the England side? I just thought they did what was expected of them. Is that unfair?
They overachieved given the context that they stunk the place out of the previous three or four tournaments and they were absolutely disastrous. So, I mean, they have that psychological baggage with them when they go to a tournament with England. You can't ignore that. Yeah, I mean, I know all the arguments about the fact that, you know, that against the three times they played decent teams, Belgium twice, neither in actually competitive matches really, and Croatia, but they lost all three. So, but it was given, you know, 30 years of being shocking, 20 years of being shocking at tournaments, it was a very, very good achievement. The most important thing now is that they've actually taken that on and improved. Normally, when England have done pretty well at tournaments, they've immediately bombed. They actually, although the Nations League gets a lot of criticism and that nonsense with Scotland that we've already talked about, the fact that they've already got this playoff in place suggests that there's something wrong with the structure of the Nations League. But for England, it proved a real boon in the autumn that instead of playing against, you know, the likes of San Marino or Kazakhstan in qualifiers, they actually had four top quality games, and the away win in Seville when they were 3-0 up at half time against Spain was, you know, a far better performance than anything they produced in Russia even. So yeah, there's real positivity about them. I think you're right to, you know, to suggest that the World Cup wasn't an unbelievably huge overachievement. They beat Panama, Tunisia, Colombia on penalties, and Sweden. So, you know, you can't say that it's an incredible performance, but it was a really heartening one, and they've grown from there. So, yeah, I think, you know, this tournament, they've got a lot of games at home, haven't they? If they get there, they've got the qualifying group will be at home in the finals, and the semi-finals and finals if they get there. So it's a real opportunity for this squad.
What do you expect to see on Friday night then? You're at the game, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see a Czech team who will probably come and try and frustrate them, and hope to get something on the break against what is just, you know, slightly weaker than usual England central defence. But England, you know, should have plenty of the ball. They've got a lot of pace going forward. They've got, you know, players in form in terms of Kane. Sterling, you know, had struggled for England for a long while, but he had a bit of a breakthrough performance. He scored in Seville. You get the impression, you know, he's so full of confidence at City now that I think, you know, he started to play like he does for City for England in those last few games, which he didn't have a great World Cup. I mean, there was probably too much criticism at times, but he didn't have a great World Cup. He is now starting to look like the sort of player we've seen, you know, tearing it up in the Premier League for England now.
Raheem Sterling, by the way, 4-1 to score first in the match. If you're looking for a convincing England victory on Friday night, England to win the game 3-0, available at 6-1. Derek, Dave has referenced maybe England's weakness at centre-half for this fixture, but the Czech Republic have only scored 7 in their last 8 fixtures, and they might not be able to exploit any deficiencies in that department.
No, they won't be. How bad are they? Well, they were the last team Northern Ireland beat. That was way back in 2017. That's the first clue. The second clue is the 4 places below Scotland in the world rankings. Jesus, I'd be too easy to be humiliated to show my face at Wembley if that was the case. Harry's heroes could line up against them and beat them this weekend. 1-4 England, it's not really a price I would normally touch, but you know, you look at the Czech team, their chief threat up front is a player who can't get a game for Burnley. This is what we're talking about here. I mean, it's not the greatest England squad we've seen, is it? Callum Hudson, the door he's been called into it. I don't think he started a Premier League game, has he? Did he thought Gareth Southgate was joking? Well, so did I. I just, you know, it's basically, if you're English and you're under 20, you get a game. Under 25, you get a game. England will win this. The 1-4, you can't touch that. It's because you just can't touch England at those kind of prices, even though I'm pretty sure they'll win. So you have to go look at the handicap marks, and England -2 looks a tidy bet for me. Decent price, 12-5, and I can see them winning this quite easily.
Okay, that's England versus the Czech Republic on Friday night. Again, check out all the markets on the website and on the app. We are going to finish with Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland. 70-1 Gibraltar to win the game. The draw 16-1. The Republic of Ireland 1-66. There's not that much to say about this game other than the Republic will win it. It's a case of how many. They were disappointing in the UEFA Nations League, which led to the departure of Martin O'Neill and the return of Mick McCarthy. Derek, I was thinking about that appointment. It doesn't look particularly progressive. No. The Republic of Ireland clearly just looking for some stability, I suppose.
I know, but imagine that. You know, you're going through a bad time. You know, your best players are getting longer in the tooth.
what do we do? We appoint Mick McCarthy again? Oh, my God. I mean, it's just depressing, isn't it? Mick McCarthy got the face of an Easter Island statue and his players, the movement in our island at the moment. I mean, yeah, Gibraltar are diabolical. They're 192nd in the world rankings. The only ones lower than them are English tennis players, I think. But they've actually beaten Armenia and Liechtenstein recently, and we all know how powerful those two nations are. It's basically, if you're in Gibraltar, if you're male and you're under 40, you play for them. Sometimes you don't have to be under 40 or male. You just get a game. Ireland have played them twice before. They battered them 7-0 in Dublin, and then they won 4-0 away, although that, I think, was played in Portugal for reasons that escaped me. It's how far, basically, for the Republic. I'm going to go for Republic 2-0, just because I've no idea why I'm going for that, to be honest, but I just know that Gibraltar won't score and Republic will, but won't be that many.
Yeah, 2-0 looks one of the likeliest scorelines. 2-0 available at 9-2 here with William Hill. We have been critical on this podcast, Dave, of the Nations League, but it has been good for Gibraltar. They've won three times in 2018 and admittedly against nations of a similar calibre. And when they go up against one of the established national teams, they usually get hammered. I think it's been a positive for a nation like Gibraltar, the Nations League.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of positives about it. It's just when you start getting into that Scotland scenario that it doesn't work for me. But the idea that nations are playing against teams of similar strength on a regular basis, rather than loads of mismatches, has got to be a positive, isn't it? But I think with Gibraltar, it is, you know, we are talking amateurs here. We're talking admin clerks and customs officers and policemen and half the Gibraltar Fire Brigade, Hugh Pugh, Barney McGrew, I think, will be lining up against them. So it's going to be, you know, this is not, you know, a professional football team still. We're talking that level, we're talking non-league, and of course the Republic should go there and win comfortably despite all their problems. And yeah, McCarthy coming back to the Ireland job in the same way McLeish at Scotland as well, it just seems so regressive, doesn't it? You know, he's going back 10 or 15 years rather than looking into the future, really. And you know, losing Rice to England would have been a hammer blow. You know he's an absolute top quality player, and having, you know, him having played, you know, senior internationals, albeit friendlies, you know, they're within their rights to feel very, very let down by him, to be honest.
Are you thinking along Derek's lines of the Republic winning here, but not by many?
I think they could win three. You'd expect them to win by 3 or 4, no matter how relatively weak the Republic are at the moment.
3-0 is 18-5, 4-0 in the betting at 9-2, and that's that for those four games in the Euro 2020 qualifiers. Best bets then for the games over the next 3 days. Dave, what's your number one selection?
What we got for Sterling, Sterling first goal scorer.
Yeah, Sterling to score first. I was looking at that as well. 4-1 it is.
I think I'll go with that. I think he's a brilliant in form, and I just got a feeling he can stick one away early doors tomorrow night.
I like that. 4-1 Sterling to score first in the game. Derek?
My absolute nap in this one is Ukraine plus a goal at Portugal. Portugal are being priced up like the Brazil. The Brazil of old. They're not. And Ukraine are no mugs. 9-5 plus a goal at Portugal. I'm having loads of that.
Ukraine plus one against Portugal. Let me just load this up, Mr. McGovern. This is a game kicking off on Friday, isn't it? Friday game, this one.
Yeah.
What was the bet again, Derek?
Ukraine plus a goal, 9-5. Yeah, it should be ready on your brain, Dave. One of my naps. What are you on about?
Ukraine plus one at 9-5. I'm going for Scotland to win. I think Scotland should win at even money. So I'll put that in the treble. 27-1. Raheem Sterling to score first at 4-1. Ukraine plus one at 9-5, and Scotland to win at even money. 27-1. That treble here with William Hill. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Dave, always a pleasure having you on the podcast.
See you, Dave.
Thank you, chaps. And we're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League action, starting off with Gav Puszlowski's pick in League One.
My nap in League One seems relatively simple this weekend. It's all about a side who are 13-10 at home, who right now sit 1 point outside the playoffs, and they're taking on a side who are 4 points clear of the relegation zone. It's all about Coventry City at 13-10. They've won three of the last four games, and a victory at the Ricoh Arena could force them into the playoffs. They've won the last couple of games 2-1 and 2-1, so the scoring goals as well. Ina Bakari and Bakayoko amongst the goals. And Oxford United are very poor on their travels. One win in the last six, but no goals in their last two. 1-0 defeat at Gillingham and 0-0 away at Rochdale. This could be Coventry minus one. Either way, Coventry City at 13-10 is my nap in League One. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Wouldn't betting be easy if the most informed team in the league were always priced at bigger than twos? And wouldn't it be even easier if they were playing a side who'd lost three of the last four matches by 3-0? Well, welcome to this week's Easy Pick. And again, this week, it's Tranmere. 5 wins in 5, 6 wins and a goal a straw in their last seven. They have scored 11 and conceded just 2 in that time. James Norwood, who, by the way, is by 7 goals the league's top scorer and has scored in 9 of his last 11 games, is 6-5 to score this weekend in his way. And Tranmere's is Colchester. On paper, a decent side with a decent home record, challenging for the playoffs. In reality, a side who were inside the automatic promotion spots on Boxing Day. They have just 15 points from their 15 games since, in a division where only the bottom three aren't averaging a point a game. It is not rocket science this week. It is Tranmere at 21-10.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.